Blog Talk Radio.
Gino.
It's coming on. Hang tight, Mike.
All right.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and although I sound as fresh and perky as if I were live, we are not live. This is Wednesday, March the 27th, one day earlier than we are scheduled to do the program, but tomorrow I'll be flying to Dallas to speak at the Hear the Watchman conference, and so I would not have been able to be live. And there's just so much going on. If it had been a slow news week by any stretch of the imagination, if we'd had nothing to talk about, I may have perhaps asked Gino to fill in or even, you know, play a repeat because evidently our programs are evergreen. You can listen from things that we talked about 6 months ago. You can listen from things that we talked about a year ago. And some of them seem oddly prophetic in hindsight. Others are just real good and wholesome teaching on a variety of topics. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Yes, it is the week that the Mueller report finally came out. It's the thing that everyone's been talking about, it's what's on everyone's mind, and everyone's thoroughly excited about the fact that the president was exonerated fully and completely regarding Russian collusion. Now, those of us who are not weasels, those of us who chose not to hedge our bets, those of us who were certain regarding certain things, have been telling you for the last year, there was no Russian collusion. Nobody colluded with the Russians. This whole election took them by such surprise that they needed to create a narrative, just unviable as it may have been at the time. They needed something to explain away the fact that Hillary Rodham Clinton lost shamefully. That pantsuit Barbie couldn't pull it across the finish line, and that she lost to somebody who everyone is saying is either a mental midget, semi-retarded, doesn't know what he's talking about, the worst candidate in the history of bad candidates, and everything else that they've been throwing at the guy. They needed that narrative. They needed something to explain away their loss. And what they'll be using in 2020, but they're going to have to relive the nightmare anew because from everything that we're seeing right now, from everything that's happening in the nation, from everything that's happening internationally, and the weak field of Democrat candidates. Okay, again, this is just a personal thing with me, but please bear with me. Don't call them Democratic. Call them Democrat, because that's what they are. They're not Democratic by any stretch of the imagination. These people are closet hedonists. These people are closet dictators. The only thing that you need to do is give them power, and then they will show their true colors. Even a modicum of power makes these people think that they're the next Genghis Khan. So no, don't call them democratic. They're Democrat. It's the Democrat Party. And apparently now it's top heavy with lunatics and insane people. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google the latest tropes from the front runners of the Democratic or the Democrat presidential field. You have a guy by the name of Hickenlooper that actually admitted to watching pornography with his own mother. You have another one by the name of Robert Francis O'Rourke. Any more Irish and he'd need to paint himself green, but he goes by Beto because, you know, in Texas, the name Beto means that he's Latin, which he isn't, but he got a few votes because stupid people thought, hey, he's Mexican too. He's not. He's Irish. And his predilection to alcoholism apparently testifies as such. By the way, yeah, Beto, or Robert Francis O'Rourke, did a hit and run while drunk. So there's that. But that's not the news. The news is he went to New Mexico. And in New Mexico, Robert Francis O'Rourke ate New Mexican dirt to rejuvenate himself. Yes, you heard right. So it's not as though the field of Democrat front runners is strong. Even if Donald Trump was doing half a good a job as he's doing, he'd still likely win in a landslide. But with everything that's been going on this past week, I think that at some point the Democrat Party will be begging for a mercy killing. And I think that's where they're headed. It's impossible for it not to go there because the lunatic fringe of the Democrat Party has taken over. You have open anti-Semites, people who despise Jews with such ferocity that they're unwilling to bite their own tongue while in Congress. You have people who, you know, want to kill all cows because they flatulate and they believe that by murdering every cow in the world and doing away with delicious, delicious hamburgers, we will save the planet. Looking at you, bug-eyed Betty. Yes, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They're pretty much just grasping at straws at this point. They want to lower the voting age to 16. They want to, you know, open the borders so that we get a flood of immigrants who will likely be voting Democrat because, hey, Democrats are the party of Santa Claus. So good times, interesting things. But like I said, the most pressing and important news story of the week, most likely the month, is the fact that the man in whom all hope resided, the man who was supposed to rip off the mask of Donald J. Trump and show us that since birth he has been speaking Russian, eating Russian, dressing, consoling himself with Russian propaganda and Russian novelists, colluding with the Russian government, being an agent of Russia in the White House. All those hopes were dashed, done away with, murdered. Because the Mueller report not only said that there was no evidence, that's right, evidence of collusion with Russia by Donald Trump or his family, but of no American citizen. That's a broad brush, isn't it? They found no evidence of collusion with Russia, by any American citizen. And yet, the lunatic fringe keeps hanging on to this pipe dream. Who is it? Adam Schiff, who's in the running of for most despicable human being to ever grace this planet, still clings to it. He still believes, against all evidence contrary, that Donald Trump is an agent of Russia and that he is doing Vladimir Putin's bidding. So this is where we are. We have an entire political party that is largely unhinged, that has no message, that has no platform, whose only consistent message is that Donald Trump must be impeached, even though they have not uncovered anything closely resembling high crimes and misdemeanors. And they're going to keep going at it. If it's not this, it'll be something else, because they have no message. There's nothing that they can do except try to bludgeon this man. And I've said this to you on occasion, and I'm going to repeat myself because it bears repeating. Put yourself in this man's shoes and be honest. Could you have taken all the abuse for the last 2 years and come out the other end? Could you have endured what this man endured psychologically? With every time you turn on the television, you hear that your kids are going to be indicted, that you're going to be indicted, that your dog's going to be indicted. Honestly, you know, even if you don't like the guy, you got to admit, psychologically, he's a lot stronger than most of us. Because to be perfectly honest with you, if this were happening to me and I were a billionaire, I would readily conclude that it just was not worth it. And that's what they were hoping for. See, they dragged this out for 2 years, hoping that the media would do its job, hoping that the media would just continue to stab at the guy until he finally cried uncle. And he outlasted them, and he outlasted Mueller. Because I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but every single person Mueller hired, including Mueller himself, would have liked nothing more than to find some speck of dirt on Donald Trump. They would have liked nothing more than to find some sort of even arbitrary inkling of collusion, because they would have taken that one little tiny piece of evidence and blown it up into a monster. They found nothing. Absolutely zero, zilch, nada, as they would say in California. They found nothing. And trust me, it wasn't for lack of trying. And trust me, it wasn't for lack of playing loosey-goosey with who could be on the evidentiary list. Look, all the guys that got caught up in this, all the guys like Paul Manafort, he may be a sleaze, but still, do you deserve to go to prison for the rest of your life for a process crime just because you were hired by Donald Trump for 3 days? Look, every single person caught up in this net, every single person that Mueller indicted, new indictments coming down, every single person was indicted on process crimes. Things that had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with collusion, to do with the Russians, or anything of that nature. So the next time you hear a talking head on television saying, well, you know, there were 30 people that were indicted, not one was indicted for the purpose of the special counsel, which was Russian collusion or interference. Look, if the best you got is that 12 guys somewhere took $3,000 out in Facebook ads to try to, you know, influence the election, I think we just wasted $25 million, because that's what this cost. $25 million to prove what reasonable people knew all along. Because let me let you in on a little secret. If there was evidence of collusion, if Donald Trump really was a puppet of Russia doing Russia's bidding, nobody would have waited for the report to come out. They wouldn't have dragged this thing along for 2 years. You don't put the nation in peril for 2 whole years waiting on a report if you have any sort of evidence that the man elected to high office or the highest office in the land is colluding with a foreign power. So, the madness that has gripped some people is beyond words. You can't. There's no way you can look at it reasonably and go that these are rational human beings. Absolute hatred has blinded them to the point that all they see is something that isn't there. All they see is Russian collusion. And even after the Mueller report came out and A.G. Barr gave his summation, they still are unwilling to believe it. They still demand the full report and also all the evidentiary. Look, let's be clear here. Let's just put it all on the table. What they want is free opposition research. This is what they want. The reason they want the full report and all the documents associated with it made public is because to them it will be like opposition research. They're going to rifle through the thousands of pages and find one thing, take it out of context, and try to beat Donald Trump over the head with it. Look, do you honestly believe that if the conclusion that Attorney General Barr came to was 180 degrees different than what Bob Mueller said in his report, that Bob Mueller wouldn't have made a statement by now? How insane do you have to be to keep pinning your hope on one thing or another and another? What, now everybody's hopes are pinned on the District of New York? They're going to get them. So let me get this straight. There was a Senate investigation. There was a congressional investigation. There was a special counsel. And all three found the same thing, which no collusion and no obstruction of justice. And the District of New York is the last great hope. They're the ones that are going to unravel the mystery and find the evidence that lunatics in Hollywood and most of the U.S. Congress that is on the Democrat side believe exists. Look, it's one thing to believe something. It's one thing to hope something. But if there is no factual evidence to back up what you believe, to back up what you hope, at some point you're going to have to acquiesce. At some point you're going to have to say, okay, maybe I was wrong. There's no such thing in these people's vocabulary. They will never say they were wrong. I saw an exchange between Chris What's-My-Name Cuomo and Rudy Giuliani. I happened to be in a restaurant picking up some food, and it was blaring on the television. And Rudy Giuliani, rightly so, said, when are you going to apologize? When are you going to apologize for beating this dead horse for 2 years? For accusing a sitting president of the United States of treason? They didn't accuse him of stealing a Milky Way at the 7-Eleven. They didn't accuse him of not paying his taxes. They didn't accuse him of dining and ditching. They accused the man of treason. One of the very few offenses in this country for which you can be hung by the neck until dead. They accused a sitting president of treason, of giving aid and comfort to the enemy, of colluding with the enemy. It was not a nothing allegation. Do you understand this? Because a lot of people just want to brush it off now. They just want to sweep it under the rug. Oh, well, nothing there, ha-ha. No! You accused a sitting president of treason. Let that sink in. And they're still at it. Look, I've said this before. Sometimes I have to wonder at the level of intelligence of some of the American voters. If they keep voting these lunatics in, there was nothing there. No evidence. And they were looking. Oh, believe you me, they were looking. What was it? 2,800 subpoenas, 500 depositions, letters to foreign countries. 13 countries got letters. Hey, we're investigating our president for possible treason. Could you help us out a smidge? And the other thing that, well, there's a few things that very few people are talking about. Because when we start peeling back this particular onion, we start to see just how egregious a thing this was. The first thing that we need to discuss, and it has to be in a sober-minded fashion, is the fact that by their rhetoric, by the constant drumbeat of Russian collusion and aiding and abetting and giving comfort to the enemy and all this stuff, not only has our political relationship with Russia soured, these people were actively pushing for conflict between the world's two topmost nuclear powers. Consider the fact that there was a very high probability that if cooler heads did not prevail, that if the sitting president gave in to the lunacy of the left and reacted to their conspiracies by proving himself tougher on Russia than he should be, it could have led to war. Over what? A lie. A lie, a fabrication, a hoax that was just dreamed up out of whole cloth by the Clinton campaign after they realized, oh my, we just lost to the guy on Apprentice. If we're going to save face, if we hope to ever again be of any political influence, then we have to find a boogeyman. We have to find an explanation for how this happened. We lost to the guy on Apprentice. And so they began to spin a narrative. No. Don't be silly. Donald Trump could never beat Hillary Clinton. Fairly, at least. No, the Russians did it. Because Donald Trump was in bed with the Russians, quite literally. Yes, oh yes. They've been grooming him for this for decades, maybe even since before birth. Oh, no. Hillary didn't lose on her own because she's a pathetic old wing bat that just needs to go away. No. It was the Russians. And you have that nugget that turned into this, 2 years of constant drumbeats of collusion, constant drumbeats of, Why weren't you tougher on Putin? What did you expect the man to do? Just walk up and just slap him in the face? And now if the Republican Party has any sort of backbone, if they have any sort of dignity left, they're going to turn the tables and start investigating how this whole thing started, how this sham of an investigation started. How exactly FISA judges gave permission for American citizens, even presidential front runners, to be spied on. And the only basis for that acceptance was a fake dossier that included urinating prostitutes. Pray tell, how did that happen? You remember a few years ago when Donald Trump kept going on about him being wiretapped? And all these human pustules on television mocked and derided and laughed at him. Wiretapped, you say? Nobody wiretaps anymore, dear boy. Well, he was surveilled. That's what he meant. He was being surveilled. Donald Trump was right again. He was being surveilled by his own government. So, yeah. Pardon me if I seem a little skeptical of the justice system right about now. Pardon me if I seem a little skeptical of the talking heads on television right about now. And just to put a little icing on the cake, let's go to the newest travesty of justice. The Juicy Smollett situation. Now, we talked about this some months ago. You had an untalented actor who just happened to be of the homosexual persuasion and black, not only send himself hate mail, not only send himself death threats, was proven. We have video that he hired two Nigerian brothers that look like mountains to assail him, beat him up, but not too much so that, you know, he felt it the next morning, put a noose around his neck, throw bleach on him, and yell something about him being homosexual and that this is MAGA country. Now, when this whole thing came out, I even wrote articles on this because it could have turned very ugly very quickly. I reminded everyone that I was around during Rodney King. And not only was I around during Rodney King, I remember Reginald Denny, an innocent man who got his brains bashed in for no other reason than he was white. This could have easily happened in Chicago because it was framed not only as a hate crime, it was framed as a hate crime perpetrated by Trump supporters. Now, the evidence came out. There's video of these two guys buying red hats and rope. There's a signed check by none other than Juicy Smollett. for $3,500. This is what he paid two Nigerian brothers to rough him up and yell, "This is MAGA country." And wouldn't you know it, Chicago justice had its say. They dismissed all charges against Juicy. And not only did they dismiss all charges against Juicy, they sealed the indictment. They sealed all the records. And pretended as though it never happened. Granted, now his lawyers are saying they're considering suing the city of Chicago for doing its job. Just chew on that for a while. So, apparently, there are a lot of angry people, including in Chicago, who see this for the injustice that it is. And there's a bigger picture developing here. The reason that you can have 330 million people living in a country wherein most of them are law-abiding, tax-paying citizens is because on some basic level they have to believe in equal justice for all. On some basic level, they have to believe in equal justice under the law. And the last week or so has proven that we have, at best, a two-tiered justice system where the little guy, the average guy, the inconsequential guy, gets the book thrown at him, spends his entire life savings trying to defend himself for a crime he knows he didn't commit, but for which he was accused. And the best case scenario is he walks away a broken man, disillusioned, penniless, with his family in tatters, wondering what just happened to him. Look, I understand. Again, we go back to these indictments in the Mueller probe. I understand we can all say, well, let's move on now. No, there are people who lost everything. What, last count, General Flynn owes $5 million to lawyers. And all of this is founded on the premise that people colluded with Russia. And the Mueller report found that not one American citizen did. The justice system is destroying people's lives who are demonstrably innocent and is taking it upon themselves to expunge the records of people who are demonstrably guilty. I don't care that Juicy Smollett's black. I don't care that he's a homosexual. All I care about is that he faked a hate crime. And he blamed 60 million odd people in this country for that hate crime. Trump supporters. Yes, damn, they racist. And apparently there's a little backlash to the fact that this whole thing was made to go away. The AP, you know it's real news when it's the AP, says this: prosecutors still insist that Juicy Smollett faked a racist anti-gay attack on himself in the hopes that the attention would advance his acting career. The Empire star still says that he was assaulted by two men late at night in downtown Chicago. And again, he may say he was assaulted by two men, and that may be factually true. The only problem is it's two men that he paid to assault him who were not wearing MAGA hats, who weren't white, and who weren't Trump supporters. But with little explanation, authorities on Tuesday abruptly dropped all charges against Smollett, abandoning the criminal case only 5 weeks after the allegations were filed. In return, prosecutors said the actor agreed to let the city keep his $10,000 in bail. Now, at some point, some intrepid reporter will actually do the math on this and add up how much it cost the city of Chicago and the police department in man hours to try to find non-existent white racist Trump supporters in downtown Chicago at minus 20. I guarantee you that the cost of this investigation, based on a hoax perpetrated by Juicy Smollett, far exceeds the $10,000 in bail that the city of Chicago kept. The dismissal drew a swift backlash from the mayor and police chief and raised questions about why Smollett was not forced to admit what prosecutors had said they could prove in court, that the entire episode was a publicity stunt. Oh, it was far more nefarious than a publicity stunt. A publicity stunt would not have singled out a segment of people in the attempt to villainize them. A publicity stunt would have been, oh my, I got attacked, and they called me homosexual. Not by whom, just random attack. Happens every day. But no, see, he needed to define the villain. He needed to make sure that it was white MAGA supporters. Because, man, they said, this is MAGA country. Yup, yup, MAGA country. Among those sure to keep pressing for answers in Chicago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who appeared blindsided by the decision, his voice rising in anger at times, please. Come on, if you believe Rahm Emanuel's incest, you've got another thing coming. The only reason Rahm Emanuel may be incest is because he didn't get his cut. You want to know why I understand Chicago politics so well? It's because it's being run exactly like the Banana Republic I left. If you have power and influence, and if you know the right people, you can get away with anything in a banana republic. Chicago is a banana republic. This is why when they say Rahm Emanuel is incest, only reason that I could think of is because he didn't get his cut. Because believe you me, a lot more than $10,000 forfeited in the bail is what it cost Juicy Smollett to walk away from this. Somebody's buying a Porsche. Somebody's buying a Porsche. Don't know who yet, but I'm assuming it's a lady by the last name of Fox with two X's. Anyway, look it up. You'll figure it out. Doesn't take a lot to connect the dots when the dots are like a pox-ridden three-year-old. Just one giant dot, his voice rising in anger at times. Emanuel called the deal a whitewash of justice. No, it's not a whitewash of justice. It's a travesty of justice. Lady justice isn't blind, kids. She's speaking. And she's holding out her hand. And she's saying, if you fill this hand with shackles, then you get to walk away. That's what happened here. And lashed out at Smollett. He said Smollett had exploited hate crime laws meant to protect minorities by turning the laws inside out, upside down, for only one thing, himself. Really? Oh my. Where is the accountability in the system? It's Chicago. This is the festering sore that gave us Barack Hussein Obama and his ilk. This is the festering sore where every mayor that walks away from the office gets arrested and gets put in prison for what they did while in office. Yes. So let's not be too surprised, shall we? You cannot have, because of a person's position, one set of rules apply to them and another set of rules apply to everybody else. Tell that to Hillary Clinton. Tell that to Juicy Smollett. Where he's not even... Look, the guy is a hack actor whose only claim to fame is that he's homosexual and black. But he knew the right people in Chicago. If you do a search on them interwebs, guaranteed you'll find picture of Juicy Smollett with the Obamas. And one thing about Democrats, they protect their own. It doesn't matter if there's evidence. It doesn't matter that they did the thing they're accused of doing. No, no. The law is for thee, but not for me. I am above you, don't you see? Yes, yes. Law for thee. So this is what they're telling the American people. The justice system, at best, is two-tiered. There are some people that can get away with murder, and others who do life in prison for flicking a booger on a crosswalk. Smollett has become a household name as a result of the case, but it's unclear if the dropped charges will dismiss the taint that followed his arrest last month. Yes, it will most certainly diminish the taint. Are you chewing mushrooms as a hobby? How can this diminish the taint? Look, I'm sorry. The nation needs to be incensed about this. Because if we no longer believe in equal justice for all, if we no longer believe that justice is blind and that facts matter and that evidence matter, then we're going to have chaos. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you don't want to see chaos in a nation of 330 some odd million. The Civil War back in the day was big enough, and it was just North and South. Mull that over for a second. His insistence that he had been vindicated may make the entertainment industry cautious about fully embracing him. Look, the fact that you got a corrupt prosecutor to go along with this clown show doesn't mean you were vindicated. There's evidence. Old song from like the early 90s. They used to play it all the time. You'd go to the gym and you'd hear it 17 times in 30 minutes. It was called like "It Wasn't Me." And it's a guy talking about just deny, 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 no matter the evidence against you. And this is pretty much the embodiment of that song. You have enough evidence to choke a stable of horses. And he keeps going on and on about, it wasn't me. You see, it wasn't me. But there's a check you signed to the two Nigerians that went and bought the stuff that you said you were attacked with. They have them on video. It wasn't me. It wasn't me, you see. And this is how it's going to keep going. And the media is going to cover, because that's what the media does. Because one other thing that the orange-haired man was right about, whether you like it or not, is that the media is the enemy of the people. There's no way around it. It is demonstrable now. When you try to divide a nation on no other basis but a fake dossier and a hoax investigation, when you stopped reporting news and just belched out opinion about how a president of the United States needs to be perp-walked out of the White House and needs to be in prison, then, yes, you are the enemy of the people. Defense attorneys said Smollett's record was wiped clean of the 16 felony counts. 16 felony counts. 16 felony counts related to making a false report. The actor, who also agreed to do community service, of course he did, instead insisted that he had been truthful and consistent on every single level since day one. And this is going to be his downfall. He just can't shut up. I guarantee you, he cannot keep his mouth shut. He has to keep running his mouth, even though everybody on the planet knows what he did. And it's going to be another OJ, where we all know OJ did it. Come on. He got off the first time, but when he was once more entangled with the law, they threw the book at him. So how many more of these can a nation take before, when you hear, I'm from the law, you just start to laugh and walk away? I would not be my mother's son if I was capable of one drop of what I was being accused of. See, again, shut up. Just take the win and shut up. You paid off the right people. You had the right phone numbers. Somebody did something and you got off on 16 felony counts. Take the win, walk away. You're guilty as sin. There is evidence of your guilt. But no, he needs to go on and on. And right now, honestly, his lawyers are thinking about suing the city of Chicago. This is just, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be laughable. He thanked the state of Illinois for attempting to do what's right. Doing what's right would be you in prison. In a statement, a spokeswoman for Cook County Prosecutor's Office said the dismissal came after reviewing all of the facts and circumstances of the case. Tondra Simonton called it a just disposition, an appropriate resolution, but said that it was not an exoneration. Tondra Simonton will likely be buying a new Nissan, maybe a Toyota, because as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would say, she's not the tippy top. See, it's the tippy top that got the cash. They got the boatload. In order for her to compromise herself, Tondra Simonton, maybe a Nissan. Nice car. but by no means a Porsche. First Assistant State's Attorney Joseph Magetz said prosecutors stand behind the investigation and the facts because there are facts and there's evidence. In stopping cases, prosecutors will sometimes insist that the defendant accept at least a measure of responsibility. Outside the court, neither Smollett nor his legal team appeared to concede anything about his original report in January. Defense attorney Patricia Brown Holmes said Smollett was attacked by two people he was unable to identify and was a victim who was vilified and made to appear as a perpetrator. So hold on a second. Now we're switching narratives again. First of all, yes, you're able to identify him. It's the two guys you hired to beat you up. That's how you're able to identify him. You look at the name on the check you wrote for them to beat you up. But I thought it was two white guys in MAGA hats. Well, that narrative no longer, one bridge too far. First, I can't go on. I can't keep doing this. This is just insanity. Authorities allege that Smollett, who is black and gay, if he were also an amputee, that would be the trifecta, knew the men and arranged for them to pretend to attack him. Emmanuel, who leaves office in May after two terms, said the hoax could endanger other gay people who report hate crimes by casting doubt on whether they're telling the truth. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said Chicago is still owed an apology. And you know what? The way this is going, Chicago's going to get a bill. Because this is just insanity. A guy who is guilty as sin gets off scot-free, and then he's going to sue the city for doing its job after he faked a hate crime. The only thing missing is a guy with a ukulele in the background singing, "Hey, Mr. Taliman, Talimi Banana." That's it. That's the only thing that's missing. I'm waiting for the ukulele. And here's the name that made the big bucks. The new Porsche owner. Chicago's top prosecutor, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, recused herself from the investigation before Smollett was charged, citing conversations she had with a Smollett family member. This is what they might call the fixer. Everybody knows the fixer or the fixer. Kim Fox is the fixer here. She recused herself for plausible deniability. But I guarantee you, she got a call from somebody, and then Kim went to work. Because nothing beats that new car smell. And what's the point of having self-respect and reverence for the rule of law or dignity when you can't have that new car smell? So, yeah, look for Kim Fox to drive a really nice car in the next few weeks. Because she deserves it, because she earned it. So this is Chicago Justice. They should make a TV show called Chicago Justice, where, you know, it's just the first frame is a guy just shooting people with another guy filming him, and by the end of it, he gets off scot-free and then sues the city. It's sad. It's depressing even, because this is a banana republic. And it doesn't matter where you stand or where you sit, political extreme, the fact that we can no longer believe that justice is blind, the fact that we can no longer believe in equal justice under the law, makes us less of a country. It lessens us. I don't know what else to say here. It's beyond disappointing. It's beyond disheartening. And if this continues, you're going to see a lot more people be a lot more flippant about the law, because they'll realize if you've got enough power and if you've got enough juice, you too can fake a hate crime and get away with it. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Next week, Lord willing, we will be back live and have more stuff to talk about, because the crazy never ends. Gino, it's all yours, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We just want to let you know that coming up is the Hear the Watchman conference that Michael will be speaking at March 28th to the 31st. And I believe they will be streaming. They actually offering on-demand and stream tickets. They also have a lineup of the people speaking there. And so once again, it is Hear the Watchman Sounding the Alarm, March 28th, 31st. If you're in the Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, it will be at the Hilton Dallas-Fort Worth Complex Hotel. So, again, we want to invite you to that. Also, as Mike said, next week he will be doing the program live. And interesting times we live in. Please check out our website, handofhelp.com, latest books and other items, as well as our e-newsletter that is posted on the website. And our, if you desire a paper newsletter, please contact us by email, handofhelpoffice@aol.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.